Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Billy Gumbard. Billy, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Mate, I'm excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experiences with the challenge and your amazing result. Now, mate, tell me, you know, just a couple of days ago, you found out that you were part of the top 10 in the May challenge. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Yeah, it's pretty excited getting the call. Unfortunately, I missed your first call. But yeah, no, mate, it was a pretty exciting. It certainly didn't sign up with the intentions of making top 10. That wasn't the goal of the challenge, but that was just one of the rewards that I got. Mm. So yeah, for the last few days, yeah, it's been pretty surreal.
Well, mate, you should be so proud of the achievement that you've made for making the top 10, and your transformation is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Billy, would you like to start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and, you know, who is Billy?
Yeah. So based in sunny Queensland, town of Maryborough. So here on the Fraser Coast, 33 years old, father of two. I've got a 5-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter, Tyler and Alyssa. Actually celebrating my 8th wedding anniversary, 8 years, my wife, Trista, today. So yeah, work for the local government, been there 10 years this year as an administration coordinator for the waste section of council. So yeah, constantly busy with personal life, work life, and then I play a few sports on the side as well. So coach my son's soccer team, play soccer myself. So yeah, pretty busy, pretty hectic.
Wow, busy. And come on, mate, it's football. Come on.
Yeah, I'm originally from England, so it should be calling it football, but depending on who's listening to the podcast tonight, it might be soccer.
Yeah. Well, up in Queensland, would you refer to footy as in like NRL, like rugby? Is that...
If you have to say soccer, people know what you're talking about, or you say league, rugby league, and then union, which is not really spoken about. So
yeah, you don't talk about that. Well,
that's it.
In Melbourne, when we talk about, you know, footy, we've got AFL. But yeah, if you're referring to a football, it's soccer. But look, let's talk about the challenge. Let's talk about why you chose to sign up for the challenge. And I can see that you previously completed the challenge a few years ago, and you've rejoined us back in the May challenge. So could you start by talking to us about the May challenge and maybe why you chose to sign up and complete the challenge?
Yeah, well, to be honest, the challenge started obviously on the Monday, and it was the Sunday night under a few beverages that my wife and I were having. We had the kid-free night, and we had my brother-in-law and future sister-in-law signing up. So worked out well with the May challenge because my brother-in-law and now sister-in-law were due to get married 13 weeks from when the challenge started. So they signed up so they could get on the straight and narrow for 12 weeks. And both Dustin and I have done the challenge previously, and we had really good success with the challenge. So we thought we'd jump on the discipline and set structured Max's challenge program. And likewise, the girls gave the Maxine's challenge a good hard crack as well. So yeah, we all signed up together and we spend a lot of time with each other. So we figured it was a good opportunity considering we socialize. It's much easier to do the challenge with other people than having to, you know, justify or come up with excuses why you're not eating party pies or hot chips or having a couple of beers. Yeah, it's much easier to do it with other people.
Yeah. So like 4 of you are working together with doing the challenge. Yeah, is that right? Yep. And were you training together or were you, you know, training by yourself and stuff?
So given our work schedules, Dustin and I, we trained at 4 o'clock every morning before we went to work. And then Kobe sort of came down about 4:30, 4 to 5 for a workout. My wife trained at home. Obviously, she was looking after the kids. So she took on the training downstairs with the kids, you know, hovering around and in the constant terrors that they are.
That would have been tough.
Yeah, it was challenging. So yeah, I'm probably, I've got a lot of glory making top 10, but her transformation under the circumstances certainly deserve a little bit more than my accolades for sure.
Yeah. Well, mate, let's go back into the past, you know, talking about 2018, I think, challenge or so. Can you maybe tell us a little bit of a story about why you first signed up to that challenge, you know, way back in the past?
I had a friend that signed up. So I would have defined myself prior to that challenge as a fit, fat person. Mm-hmm. So did triathlons, still played soccer, football. So constantly active. And I wasn't getting the results that I wanted with regards to my physique. So my friend, who was overweight at that time. We were going running once a week just to encourage him to get motivated and get active. And he came across the challenge through the gym that we were going to, signed up for it then. And I had a look, had a bit of a sticky beak to find out what the program was all about and decided, well, why not? Let's give it a crack. And yeah, the friend at the time dropped 20 kilos as part of the challenge. So massive, massive drop. So yeah, we sort of, again, inspired each other, worked out every morning with each other. And yeah, I was blown away with the results that I got. You know, I've never been so physically strong and mentally strong as well. It really took me to a different place that first challenge. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, the second challenge, whilst it wasn't as mentally challenging because I knew I was in for, I tried a few different things with the challenge because I can be motivated from a fitness perspective, but learning about nutrition and maintaining nutrition, it was good to get the insight. I actually had a big JD, big Johnny Dalek, give me some advice and guidance through this particular challenge because trying to balance what I thought was good and from a nutrition perspective, what the challenge outlined with the standard workout and then chucking in additional training from a soccer perspective, you know, 2 nights a week of training and then on top of that, you're playing an active game on the weekend. So finding that balance with the diet, so the guidance from an exercise perspective was perfect. I followed it to a T every day. And then to get that additional support from a nutrition perspective, yeah, it was the icing on the cake to get the results I got this challenge.
Yeah. I do want to touch on that concept of, you know, being a fat, fit person, right? And maybe you could speak a bit about it where when you did this challenge, did you find that your training changed a lot? And what I mean by that is when we go through a dieting phase, we find that our training programs don't really change that much. What changes a lot is our nutrition. So, yep. You know, when we look at, let's say, bodybuilders or people losing weight in the challenge and we go, oh, like, you know, how did your training change? And you kind of go, well, didn't really, you know, I was still doing squats. Yeah. I was still doing deadlifts, you know, I was still doing bicep curls, you know, just the normal exercises. But what changed so much was that nutrition side. Did you find that maybe with this challenge that you were still, you know, doing soccer training or football training, you were still doing your regular-ish sessions and sure you might have made minor changes to your training. But did you see that the nutrition side of things made the biggest impact to your body composition? Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, to give people a bit of an idea, you know, sometimes I'd ride 80 Ks, 90 Ks on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a good 3 hours on the bike, you know, burning anywhere from 16, 17, 1800 calories. And then that night I'd have an A-grade game of soccer. I'm burning again around about 1400, 1500 calories. So that's without going about my general day-to-day side of things. Mm-hmm. So beforehand, I was making my meals up like majority of people would in, you know, bad fats or, you know, excessive carbs. And I wasn't finding that macro balance, the light bulb moment throughout this challenge that John provided me. So whilst you've got the guide that the Max's program provided, which again, if you're going to start counting your calories, which I don't encourage because it's a pain in the ass, but from a guidance perspective, making sure that you're getting the good balance of the right carbs, the right proteins, the right fats, and then reducing the excess stuff, that supplementary stuff. So, you know, taking electrolyte gels, you know, I might have been taking 1-2 on a bike ride and then having a protein shake afterwards and then having a normal breakfast that might have been cereal because I was physically so hungry. I was fueling myself up just with inappropriate calories as opposed to, okay, well, let's get a little bit of structure in place. Let's try and work out roughly how much I'm actually burning in a day. And then let's try and balance that out with appropriate macro balancing and then adjusting that because I was following the same diet plan. You know, I had in my head that I had to have protein to make muscle. And that's the misconception that everybody has is that you need protein and protein is the savior of all things in order to get that six-pack body or, you know, be ripped up like Rambo. But it's not the case. It's finding a good balance. And John and the challenge enabled me to find that balance and achieve the results I did based on a bit of structure and a bit of science.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're describing is, you know, taking that nutrition to the next level. And I think the approach that we need to take within the challenge and, well, if we even bring it back to the basic step, you know, the equation to lose weight and to improve our body composition is simple, right? You know, it's to consume less calories than we expend, right? It's a simple concept, not easy to apply, which is why, you know, many people don't succeed in transforming their body. I think what you're describing is like that next level where we've got lots of compounding factors. You know, you're cycling a lot, you're training a lot, plus you're trying to do the challenge and you've got a busy life and everything in between. So that's where we need to add a lot more sophistication and structure to our nutrition program. Now, I say this because not every person needs to add lots of complex layers. Of course, that's going to make us a higher level athlete when we're playing lots of sports. But for the majority, you know, I'm going to call it the average Joe, the normal person who wants to look better, feel better, we can take a very simple approach where we are maybe not counting calories, but becoming calorie aware and going, hey, this breakfast that I'm having is actually 1500 calories. I didn't know that, you know, and then you realize you had a whole avocado and a loaf of bread with a milkshake and you're like, oh, well, okay, sure.
So I think I'm having a salad for lunch. So it all balances out.
Then that salad is, you know, covered with dressing and then it has like more, you know, nuts and all that things. So then you look at the salad and that's even more calories. So I think the first step is to be calorie aware. Maybe counting calories, it does suck, but it is a method that we need to use to be like, okay, if we're starting to look at numbers, we can't just start making up numbers and say, oh, you know, I have 1200 calories. Do you know how many times people tell me that they have 1200 calories a day? I call that BS straight away and I go, no, you probably have 1200 calories in one meal, not for the whole day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. But look, I think that it's awesome that you're in a position where you're starting to look at your nutrition in an advanced level and going, okay, how can I layer carbohydrates or macronutrients to time that within my own performance requirements, right? Because when we're looking at like endurance events, that gets complicated. And there's, unfortunately, from like a nutrition side of things, there's no one option. Yeah.
And that's what I found about the challenge as well. I'll jump in there. Is there's no one size fits all. And that's probably the luxury of those people that are considering signing up to the next challenge or currently doing the challenge that they're on now. Mm-hmm. That platinum program is worth its weight in gold, purely for the fact that they're able to tailor it to you specifically and for your particular needs. So if you're active like me or you've got a unique lifestyle, which everybody does, it's really worthwhile to get that personal guidance for the program. Now, having said that, when I did my first challenge in 2018, my wife turned 30 during that challenge. And obviously, being 29 and 30 years old, we were very social. And the challenge really gave me a good concept of how much I was eating unnecessarily. So, for example, on a Friday night, everyone has that downtime after work, a couple of beers, and then the nibbles come out. And then with the nibbles, you overeat from the nibbles perspective. But what really opened my eyes for that challenge was that how much nibbles I was actually eating. You know, that small bag of chips turned into three bags of chips, a couple of beers, a couple of extra beers. And then I ate dinner afterwards and there's a dessert coming too. So theoretically, I have my daily intake of nutrition, poor nutrition, what I had in that one meal or that one sitting, which really blows it out. So the first challenge in particular gave me a good understanding of meal portion sizes. And even again, once you've done the challenge, you think you know what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, 3 years later, I got into the same position where, hang on a minute, my portion control, you know, like now that I've dropped my meat or protein serve down to, you know, 130 grams or 100 grams, I was eating three, four times that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that I was an obese person, but I'd get a piece of steak. And if it wasn't 300 grams, I was like, well, take it back. It's too small, you know, or a chicken breast. During the last challenge, we get one chicken breast out. And that would suffice for the whole family. Whereas prior to that, I'd eat it comfortably by myself. So it really gave me a good reassurance that obviously my portions were out of control in comparison to a good, healthy, balanced diet.
Yeah. It really does creep up on you, hey?
Yeah.
Look, let's talk about challenges. So, you know, every challenger will have their own unique challenges to overcome and complete a challenge. There you go. Challenge a bunch of times in a sentence.
Yeah.
So can you speak a little bit about some of the barriers that you had to overcome to achieve this amazing result that you did?
Yeah. So for this particular challenge, it was far easier having my wife do it. She understood the emotional ups and downs that you have with regards to, you know, meal preparation and those social interactions. But yeah, I think probably the biggest part is that, you know, I was playing sport, so I'm still playing, obviously, soccer. It was partway through the past challenge. It was all put on hold due to COVID, so that was a separate challenge in itself. But yeah, the main one is those social interactions. So when you get to, you know, we generally have like a family night where we all come and watch the footy, have a couple of drinks, have a burger, a homemade burger. So we're not going out and buying food. But yeah, the challenge was balancing everyday life with the challenge itself. So trying to fit the challenge around around your normal routine, because what I found in the first challenge, just doing it by myself, I was the only person in the house, I can easily have chicken and rice and veg every single meal. It wouldn't faze me. Like, I love variety, but I'm quite happy to go down the line of same meal each day, every day. And I found that challenging is trying to get justifying what I'm eating to other people, particularly when you're sitting in the smoker room and everyone's bringing takeaways in or microwave pies or whatever the case may be. And there's me there sitting there with chicken rice and broccoli or whatever the case may be. So, and again, this challenge here, depending on your work environment. So whilst I'm a keyboard warrior in the office at work, I work with lots of labourers. So the challenge of holding up a, I'm not too sure the best way to describe it, but basically you're trying to keep up a particular personality trait whilst doing the challenge. So you're almost like split personalities during that. So I found that challenging because I don't like being centre of attention, being out of place and then getting questioned why I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Because when you stand there with a T-shirt on, people think, oh, you're skinny enough. Why are you dieting? So as soon as you say you're doing a meal plan, people think you're automatically dieting and they start picking out why or you shouldn't be doing that. This, you know.
I've been in a similar situation where, you know, you start dieting and people start pointing fingers at you being like, oh, you're getting too skinny. You're too skinny, you know. And there might be some people listening to this who are in a similar situation. Maybe they go into their work, you know, lunch room and they're having their lunch and it might be a classic chicken salad type thing while everybody else is having the meat pie and the soda and everything like that. Can you speak a little bit about how you may have become the center of attention and then what you did to, you know, maybe downplay that? Because I guess some people are maybe a little bit uncomfortable having that conversation with coworkers about it. You know, what did you do to almost normalize the situation?
Yeah, so basically what I said was I'm taking part in a 12-week challenge and that challenge is not to lose weight, that's not to put on weight, that's to challenge my way of life, challenge my routine, and at the end of it, I hope to achieve some physical results, but it's a mental challenge more than anything. And then you start asking them the question, you know, could you do it? There's a lot of people that say, you know, it's easy to diet. Okay, well, prove it. And the challenge enabled me to prove people that I can be disciplined with my nutrition. I can stick to a plan and carry that out. So I would ask those people that were in my situation, I'd get them to challenge the people that are actually questioning their processes or why. Because, yeah, being able to put the onus back on them, I found it was a way that I can get past those comments.
Yeah.
And then my end results speak for themselves. So I gave the nutrition 100%. I gave the workouts 100%. Yeah, I was injured partly through the challenge and I made adjustments and made changes to the training plan to suit where my injuries were and still achieved it. So I didn't make any excuses. So there was a lot of people that said I was too skinny or wasting my time or, you know, you're spending so much money on supplements or whatever the case may be. Mm. I just said, well, you try and do it and you prove to me, you show me that you can do it. You know, it's not just as easy as, you know, just have this protein bar and all of a sudden I'm going to like Arnold Schwarzenegger on stage. Not so it's physically and mentally challenging through the whole 12 weeks.
Yeah. Did you find that some of those people towards the end were maybe more inquisitive? Maybe at the start they were making comments because comments are easy, right? You could be like, oh yeah, you don't need that. Oh, that's your, it's easy what you're doing. And then at the end they go, wow, Billy, like, what did you do? You know, how did you do this? Or they'll ask you that innocent question of what's your secret?
What powder are you taking? Making to achieve that results.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically just said, you know, it's 12 weeks. And some of the guys that were really questioning, I showed them my before and after photo. Mm. So, you know, after 12 weeks, I've eaten healthy. Yeah, I dropped 4 kilos, 4.5 kilos. Mm-hmm. So I didn't drop much weight, but my body changed significantly. And that was the best Nernick and Erna type moment that we was able to show them to say, well, it only took me 12 weeks. You can commit to 12 weeks and then you might be able to achieve a result just as mind-blowing as what I managed after both challenges. And, you know, as long as you apply yourself for a challenge, whether it's Max's or Maxine's, and it doesn't matter which one you do, give it 110%. It's only 12 weeks. You're alive a lot longer than the 12 weeks, I can assure you. So give it a crack.
Yeah. Billy, I've got some questions here, a little bit of like a speed round dating type thing. You'll love it. So the first question here.
Just don't tell my wife.
No, it's fine. It's fine. She'll find out later when she listens to it. So, okay. First question.
Very good.
Exercise. What's your favorite exercise?
Oh, favorite exercise. To be honest, man, I enjoy cardio.
Ooh.
Doesn't matter which portion of cardio, but as far as exercise, a deadlift. Yeah, I've got to chuck in a deadlift on.
A deadlift. Love it. Yep. Okay. So cardio, what's your cardio of choice?
Probably bike.
A bike. Okay, great. Yeah. All right. So with your deadlifts, what style of deadlifts? Are you just a conventional deadlifter or did you dabble in the sumo deadlift?
Nah, well, I've got chicken legs. I went the conventional way and yeah, I'm slowly working on improving my quad strength, but yeah, nice strong back. We've got okay form, but yeah, I'm working on building my chicken legs up to something a little bit more balanced with someone that's 6'2" and all legs.
Yeah. All right, flexing. What's your favorite muscle to flex?
Back.
Back. Okay.
Surprisingly, yeah, back and side ab. So at the end of the challenge, there's nothing better than catching a glimpse as you're hopping out the shower. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a couple of abs there.
Yeah. Did you do the classic, you know, hand over your head and a little like side crunch in the mirror? Did you do that classic pose?
Not that I'd admit to too many people, but yeah, I might have done it once or twice. Only with the tan. It looks much better when you've got the tan on.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about food. Dinner. What was your go-to dinner on the challenge?
Oh, salmon.
Salmon?
Yeah. So I like to cheap and nasty again. So we've become creative from a food perspective. So I'm not promoting Aldi, but Aldi have got the salmon 2 packets in a box, $5 or $6, whatever the case may be. So we make salmon, wholemeal pasta, and then I'd make a basil pesto. Ooh. So dash of oil, basil, blitz that up, and then that's sort of like a creamy sauce. Ooh. And then you just chuck some rocket or some green beans or asparagus through the pasta, mate. It was on point. So we had that, I think, every Wednesday night for the whole challenge. It was delicious. Yeah,
that sounds delicious. Okay, let's talk about protein. What was your favorite flavor of protein?
It has to be chocolate.
Chocolate, quality.
Yeah.
All right, look, let's finish up with some advice. So if someone came up to you and was like, Billy, you know, I've seen your transformations with an S. I want to get fit and healthy, or I'm about to start the Maxis Challenge. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, there's probably a couple of bits of advice, but the main one is that it's only 12 weeks. So don't build it up to be something bigger than what it actually is. 12 weeks will go super fast. So give the challenge 110%. You know you're going to have ups and downs. There's going to be personal challenges along the way. The kids might get sick, but don't make excuses for yourself, you know. Everyone's got enough time or make time. If you don't have time, make time. So yeah, I found that it's easy to make excuses not to do something and it's harder to make excuses why you should do stuff. So yeah, my advice to people would be that give it 110%. You're financially committed to signing up to the challenge and it's only a small investment, but the results will speak for themselves if you dedicate that full 12 weeks to it. And you've only got to look at the transformations of every single challenge for the people that have gone from the start to the finish. Whilst everyone's going to be their own worst critic with regards to where your finishing point is, when people jump on and get the opportunity to have a vote, that's where the wow factor comes in. So everyone that finishes the challenge is a winner. So go in with the mindset of dedicating solid 12 weeks and you'll be a winner at the end of the program.
I love it. It's quality advice. Billy, let's wrap it up there, mate. I want to thank you so much for donating some of your time to be on the Challenge podcast. And congratulations once again on an amazing result. And I know that you will continue to be an inspiration to people, you know, everyone from your workplace to your friends and family around you and, you know, within our broader online communities, inspiring people to live a healthier life. So, mate, thank you for that. And once again, a big congratulations.
No worries. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.